Morning, everybody. Thank you for coming. My name's Peter Shaw. I'm from the Health Protection Agency in the UK. The good news is I'm leaving in 5 minutes, so it's just an introduction. And I'd like to introduce Karen Vichtery. She's a consultant for BFS, which I think many of you will know as the Federal Office for Radiation Protection in Germany. Karen originally in the 1970s started in the field of agriculture and research into plant production. Also later in the 70s, she got an engineering diploma. And in the late 80s, she started to take an interest in radiation protection. Originally in terms of radioecology and the transfer of radionuclides through the environment, but then taking an interest in the remediation of uranium mining installations, and then increasingly looking at NORM industries in general. An interest in developing a legal framework for controlling exposures from NORM, and she continues to provide advice to the German government on protection from NORM industries. So it's a big pleasure to introduce Karen. Before I go, just to remind you that there is a technical session on NORM. The good news is it's in this very same room, so you don't even have to stand up. You can just stay in your seat if you want to attend that session. So, Karen, over to you.
Thank you, Peter. And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're well this morning. And as it was announced, it is assumed that you already have got some knowledge about the field of NORM, so I partly go into details. But if you have questions, don't hesitate to ask them. I'm talking in generally about NORM in industries, which is a main field it occurs, except mining. And the content is that a short introduction is given about a quiet new field of regulations on natural radioactivity. As an example, I take the contents of NORM regulations in Germany. Then we will turn on to the relevant materials, scenarios, and pathways concerned. And the most interesting thing is to do dose calculations and how they are done. At last, we have a look on the impact on industries and some practical experience. As you all may know, the basic safety standards of 1896 were the first thing to include natural radioactivity into regulation. And at that time, it was distinguished from the usual radiation protection. And it was distinguished between work activities and practices so far. And that's why special regulations were adopted. The implementation into national laws had to be done within 4 years. And in Germany, in 2001, we had a new part of the radiation protection ordinance, but now already have 10 years of experience. There's now a new development in this field in the regulations. As well, IAEA and European Union now developing new regulations. They are more specific, and it's the natural radioactivity now will be included into the regular system of radiation protection. The new proposal can be looked up here. It's from September last year, and it's still under discussions within the relevant panels of European Commission. The new regulations will contain more stringent regulations and requirements concerning natural radioactivity. And the most important thing that NORM in the future will be regarded as a planned situation. That means that all regulatory control could be applied, but to a graded approach. And it's also under discussion that stricter values apply as 0.3 millisievert for the public in case of clearance. But the limit should be 1 millisievert so far. I take as an example the regulation in Germany and will show you the contents of that. It's based on the old basic safety standards, of course, and shows the way we did it in Germany, the implementation. In the beginning, there was a comprehensive analysis for all existing informations on the relevant branches of industry, on the materials and amounts, on the mass specific activities, and of course on the relevant doses to members of the public, mainly taken from literature. And we did dose calculations based on the limits and derived certain limits of specific activities as an assistance for the authorities. For the regulations. The materials considered, you all know, the slags, ashes, sands, waste rock, and stone, and the options for reuse and disposal may be disposal or putting heaps, and the use for road construction, backfilling, etc., and of course, important pathway as an additive for building materials or others. Here I show the contents of the regulation in Germany. Of course, the subject is the protection of humans and the environment from natural radiation sources at work activities. The level protection level is 1 millisievert per year. In addition to the natural background, and here I must say that workers without exposure category are considered to be members of the public as well. It's based on selectivity. That means we made a so-called positive list in an annex of the ordinance. It's quite similar to the annex which is now given as a proposal of the new coming basic safety standards. We decided that no licensing is necessary, but only surveillance. And to a large extent, the regulations are based on self-control of the industries concerned. That means that if amounts of more than 2,000 tons a year arising, then they have to declare it to authority, and then they come into regulation. I think the list of residues are broadly known. Waste from natural gas extraction, from phosphate industry, from mining of preparation of bauxite, columbite, copper shale, and so on, all these metals, and of steel, of course. We decided to have some exemptions. The first one is if these materials are processed as raw material, and if the concentration or the specific activity is less than 0.2 becquerel per gram for each nuclide of the relevant series, because this value is the upper range of the soils in Germany and therefore unamenable to control. I can mention here that the uranium series of 235 is considered in models only, but no limits were derived. We based the limits on the sum of the maximum values of the uranium and thorium series compared to the surveillance limit. And the general limit is 1 becquerel per gram, but under circumstances, it lowers to 0.5 becquerel per gram in case an aquifer is used or if you use the material as an additive for housing materials, then it should be less than 20%, and for other construction, less than 50%. For underground disposal, of course, higher values are allowed, and the most stringent regulation is when large areas are considered for disposal or for use, and then the values is for each radionuclide series 0.2. If the sum of the values is lower than this surveillance limits, then these residues requiring control or surveillance. But if they do require control, then of course there must be a mean to release them from control again. And this is done on release, on the release is done on application of the legally responsible person. So the precondition is that 1 millisievert per year should be kept without specific measures. And other conditions as about, are, of course, because waste law is always concerned that though no obligations are regarding conventional waste law, and that the applicant gives a declaration of the whereabouts and can show a declaration of the user or disposal facility, a declaration of acceptance. How can we release the residues from control? The difficult way, the difficult way is to have a dose assessment, and therefore some bases are given. These dose assessments should be based on realism concerning the parameters, and all relevant pathways and exposures should be included, but only the relevant. If this proof would fail, of course, this remains the residues should remain under surveillance. The other way, and it's the most common way, is that these controlled residues are disposed together with other waste. And in this case, you can have a formula on the medium values of the specific activities of the materials disposed within 1 year. And if this formula is kept, then you can release the residues. These are also derived values for the mixed residue waste disposal. And you see there, depending on the disposal site, there are specific requirements. And only if very high levels of specific activities are found, then a dose assessment is necessary to be done. There's also one opening clause concerning materials not included in the lists in the appendix. That means that other materials comprising natural radioactivity can be found as well, and on they are only applicable if the significantly enhanced exposure is to be done. And then in this case, authority may direct protective measures or where the materials should be kept or stored in the kind of disposals. But of course, these regulations are not very specific, and therefore there's a guideline for the application necessary. To give you an example how it works, I've given here some results of measurements for red mud from bauxite processing. We assume that more than 5,000 tons a year are produced, and the disposal is within a catchment area of an aquifer. The nuclides of the uranium series, as you can see, are below this exemption value of 0.2 becquerel per gram, and therefore should not be considered. But the thorium activities, they exceed this value, and therefore to have the sum, it is O from these measurements, but here the maximum value is used compared to the limit referring to disposal at catchment area is 0.5. That means that this residue is not requiring control in this case. Yes, one difficulty with norm is that you always have very, or mostly have large amounts, and therefore also always the question, what is a representative measurement? Therefore, you have to have a definition of the batches, to apply some statistical procedures, with confidence limits and so on, and you need some software report. In Germany, we have such an recommendation here from the Radiological Commission of Radiation Protection, and this is a help for the appliers. Now let's have a look on the scenarios. As I told you, it's reuse, disposal, or other. Reuse maybe might be a road or landscape construction and sports fields, but the material may also be used for house construction. Always are workers and the public concerned and have to be considered. And disposal may be above ground or underground. And for underground, of course, there's no public assessment necessary. And other use may be the use of slags as abrasives. The pathways are quite clear. Main pathway is always external radiation, gamma radiation, but inhalation of radon or radon daughter products and dust should be considered as well. And ingestion of contaminated food, including drinking water, and the special pathway we have in Germany, the unintentionally ingestion of contaminated material, maybe by children or by workers. So radionuclides of concern are the series of natural radioactivity, but also potassium-40, but it was found to be not relevant and therefore is not regulated in Germany. Lead-210 may be important in case of thermal processes during norm. This is only an overview. You all know the possible pathways which may be considered, and from case to case you have to choose what to apply. As a guidance, we in Germany have developed some guidance papers. One is for the workers, mining monitoring at work activities. According to the regulation of the Radiation Protection Ordinance, and the other one is—it's also available in English in the meantime. And these are calculation bases, so-called calculation bases for the determination of radiation exposure due to mining-caused radioactivity. The problem is that it's only to mining-caused radioactivity and therefore has to be adopted in case of norm. But nevertheless, this is the first paper to specify calculation models and parameters enabling the requirement was realistic but sufficiently conservative dose assessments. It's, as I said, it contains generic assumptions with formulas, parameters, the reference persons, and critical group, and so on, and background values to be applied. And it was developed for uranium mining and copper mining and its wastes, but, as I said, has to be adopted for norm if it is known better. That means the relevant scenarios and other chemical properties like the leaching rates. And the main thing with norm is that the radionuclide vector may vary. It's not in radioactive equilibrium often. And therefore, if you know it better, you should adopt it, of course. Those calculations have to be done for members of the public and for workers, using different scenarios and parameters. If you are interested here, I wrote you the address of the English version available from our website. But now, let's go into detail to follow in dose calculation. Here is an example of a zircon mill, and the workplaces there were controlled. We made measurements by rate meter, which was calibrated with radium 226, of course, and the measurement of the ambient dose rate were done to estimate the external dose in 1 meter above ground. And These calculations then were done according to the guideline I showed you at first for working workplaces. The other way would be, if you don't have measurements, to use models, but therefore you have to know at least the activities of the materials, and the main problem is geometry, because it may differ. If you have some heaps, or you are surrounded by the material, or you have only small amounts, it is different to have a general recommendation. For population, if some material is used, to use the usual house scenario, which is equivalent to radiation protection recommendation 1 to 112. The dose factors are given in the relevant literature, and the calculation were done according to our calculation guide. As for the inhalation of dust, we made measurements as well at this working place. The dust concentration is depending on the scenario and on the kind of materials, and may differ from very few milligram per cubic meter to 3 or 4. But we found that there's a concentration factor for some materials because the enrichment of the fine particles in these materials. And here, Berner impactor with dust collectors is shown. The next pathway is inhalation of radon and radon daughter products. It's done, again, according to our calculation guideline. And so far, we used the dose conversion factor of ICRP 65. If you want to use the diffusion of some materials, then use models or empirical data if you don't have certain values. One of the main thing often is the water pathway, because it's the leading scenario, and we assume a private well with relevant pathways of drinking water, watering of kettles with all relevant food, and use for irrigation of fodder and vegetable, and this is the calculation then is done for all 6 age groups according to the basic safety standards. In case of surface water, the same pathways apply except drinking water from surface. For contaminated food, you consider the irrigation of vegetable and plants and the dust deposition, and then proceed according to the calculation guide. The contaminated material, the direct ingestion, is at stay on or with work with contaminated material, and the ingestion rates are also given in our guide. Here, a concentration factor of only 2 applies because the material are not that fine-grained as in case of dust. And again, it's done for all 6 critical groups, which is not that usual, because often the age group below 1 year is the most critical group for all these things, if the public is concerned. For workers, of course, no, only adults are given. Here, I gave you a formula where, in the way we have done the effective dose calculation for these zircon workers according to our measurements. You have to consider external and internal dose contributions. The external dose is quite clear. You have a conversion factor, which usually is a default value. You have the measured dose ambient rate, and you have a working time. And for inhalation, you have breathing rates. They are standardized as well. You have measurements, or at least an idea of the alpha activity. And you have, of course, the working time. And for radon, you have calculated the radon concentrations from the material, from the specific activities given. and use a equilibrium factor and dose conversion factor. And this procedure is planned in our guidance for the monitoring of workers. But there are special questions in detail. For example, which conversion factor should be used? There are different suggestions. Of course, the conversion factor is depending on the irrigation geometry and on the photo energy, and it may differ for adults. But the secure way is to do it, if you don't know the geometry, then to use a conversion factor of one. Contrary, in our calculation basis for mining, you know that there's a semi-infinite volume source for the relevant series, and therefore could use lower conversion factors. But for norm, and if you don't know it exactly, it's better to use one. Another question is about the lung absorption classes. There are different default values. In our guidance, we assume that according to the relevant radionuclides, the lung absorption class is used slow, medium, or fast. And depending on the chemical properties, you should choose the right one. ICRP 61 says that always class M should be used generally, except for thorium and actinium. But if you have better knowledge, then please choose the right one. It has great consequences for the dose assessment. And these recommendations of ICRP, they confirm with our default values in our calculation basis for mining. The problem is that for environmental exposure, the physical chemical form is less well defined than in working places. That means the radioactive element often is only a minor component of the inhaled particles, and therefore you never know what they inhale. The absorption of the radionuclide to body fluids then may be controlled by the dissolution of the particle matrix. And therefore, for unspecified compounds, you can use mainly class M. That is the case for environmental exposure. But for workplaces, usually the chemical properties are known, and therefore you can do it more exactly and have a better approach. For unknown compounds, of course, you should always use the slowest absorption class. Coming to the inhalation again, there's a next parameter which always causes some questions. It's activity median aerodynamic dynamic diameter AMAD. The ICRP recommends a default for occupational exposure of 5 microsievert, micrometer. This comes from an analysis of the measurements in different types of workplaces, but these were mainly nuclear power stations, research centers, and so on. And only very few places of other facilities may be, for example, with monazite sands or mineral sand taken to be account. In our office, we made some measurements with a cascade impactor in the case of zircon sand. In the milling, of course, this is not representative, but it showed that some low values of the range of 0.3 to 3 micrometer were found for the alpha activity. And therefore, in compliance with the literature for zircon sand, we used the AMAT of 1 micrometer and but assumed no enrichment in this case of the fine-grained particles. in case of exposure to the public, one should always use the AMAT of 1 micrometer. The estimation of total alpha activity is done by the dose coefficient for the mixture divided by the number of alpha-emitting nuclei within the series. That means for uranium, it is five radionuclei, and for the thorium series, only 3. Therefore, different values result for the total alpha activity. And the measurement showed that the fraction of nuclei from the uranium to the thorium series are in the proportion 2:1. And therefore, if you consider these values here, as a result, you do the dose calculation by multiplication of 2/3 for the uranium series and 1/3 for thorium series with such a result. Now let's come to the impact on industries. As the past experience has shown, that usually no qualified personnel in industry is assisting as a qualified personnel for radiation protection, of course. And therefore, usually assistance is provided or should be provided by consultants and by authorities in the form of guidelines and so on. But at least in Germany, also industrial associations may help, and they give some rules or code of practices, and therefore the industries also can solve the arising problems. And there's always, or mostly there's a possibility to reduce the doses for different reasons. At first, the first thing is that you can measure have some specific measures in the working regime to reduce exposures. If you care for health and safety advices, then you often already have a solution for radiation protection. In addition, there's, of course, technical progress, for example, due to automation. And in some certain cases, you can also have a substitution of the radioactive additives. Since due to all these regulations and to some experience in the press and so on, there's increasing public awareness, and also the industries not directly concerned are forced to deal with regulations on radiation protection. Often they already use portable monitors at disposals to control the material, and that they need quality certificates of materials which are concerning radioactivity. And often there's also a fear of image loss, for example, for waterworks. In Germany, it is the materials coming out from the waterworks, the gravel and fine sand or sludges. They are not on the list in Germany of the relevant residues, but since they may contain quite high activities according to the duration of the use of that gravel, in certain years they remove the gravel and they wanted to get rid of it. And it was, a relatively small amount, but with high activity. But the operator wanted to have a formal release because he had some fears because of his image as a food supplier. These are tubes from the extraction of natural oil. And within these tubes, there forms scales. And again, these scales can increase with very high specific activities. In Germany, there's a lot of scrap per year coming from this industrial activity, and it contains quite a lot of scales. And these concentrations are far exceeding the control limits and therefore have to be released from control. There are different disposal options. You can bring it to the scrap, but there it causes problems as well. And we have in some factories now a new technology where the scales are removed from the tubes and the scales are immobilized in polymers and then deposited. And in this case, the effective dose of 1 millisievert per year could be kept very well. As I told you, for certain industries dealing with a new rising problem, they developed some code of practice, and it is a help for the workers itself. You should inform the workers who are dealing with norm, and to explain it makes sure that they better use the requirements of health and safety. Some examples how you could reduce the exposure to the workers are given here. These are thoriated gas mantles. The trend now is to replace thorium by yttrium. And another important way is that you improve the working regime. When you change the mantles, you shouldn't do that overhead. Then in this case, they often inhaled some dust particles, and therefore high doses occurred. And you can, if you know that, and then you can change the working regime. Also in Wörterbox, we have the experience that large reductions of doses could be achieved when they are mainly from radon exposure. This could be done by a better organization of the work. Here, the science makes sure that you first you give fresh air to the facility before entering, and here radon is exhausted to outside ventilation. Here, at the ventilation of water, here's the glass wall. And the air, the radon-bearing air, is exhausted somewhere outside, and therefore the exposure for the radon worker in the facility could be reduced drastically. So, although everything in general worked quite well, there are certain practical problems. That means, it's a dilemma. On the one hand, the specification of residues is quite good to control to reduce the amount of regulation and of practical effort. But the problem is if problems or materials and processes are changing, they are not included into the list and into the in the regulations. For example, the new industry, let's say, of geothermal energy, it causes the same problems as oil industry with the scales inside the tubes. And therefore, we already need to update. But according to the new draft of the EU BSS, it's already included, the geothermal energy. As I told you, in the case of Wörterbox, some important materials are not listed. This is always a danger that you forget something in a regulation. And the specification of the residues might partly not be precise enough. So we sometimes have strange questions. In the regulations, scales of oil production are mentioned. And if they're enclosed in the Skype, in the pipe, the applier said, for me it is scrap. It's not included in the regulations and does not apply. And therefore we always have discussions. The same might be true for the extraction and preparation of bauxite. Red mud is mentioned in the regulations, sludges from bauxite processing. With moderate specific activities, but there was a discussion if blast bauxite is also within the scope. So it's always a kind of interpretation by the authorities and, causes discussions with the industry. Some other practical problems are due to the fact that some operators, disposal operators, are reluctant to accept radioactive material, although it is not radioactive in the sense of law. But during transport, often it is necessary to use class 7 for transport as a radioactive material with a sign on it. And if such a car comes to the disposal sites, there are often some worries, and therefore it's a dilemma. But you have other pathways during transport, of course, as with the released materials at the disposal site, and therefore some problems arrive. Other problems, of course, that not all methods, models, and parameters are already standardized. There should be some further effort be taken. And we are now developing some specific calculation guide for norm. That means for certain industries, you can have one guide for all industries because they are that different. But step by step, we develop for the most important industries such a guide. And another great help would be the simple measurement methods of some dose meters or contamination monitors. So to have some conclusions, the regulations on norm in Germany led to a considerable decrease of exposure to workers and to more awareness for both for industries, for the authorities and for the public as well. But in other fields, the praxis turned out that the doses have been overestimated in the past, and that's why more realistic estimates should be done, and the need for the guideline is underlined. Some workplaces are not up to date, and therefore is necessary to have more flexibility. But in general, the concept of self-control of the industry has proven to be adequate. That means that so far no authorization is necessary, but some existence of the radiation protection professionals always is needed. And by this, I wish you good luck for the implementation in your own countries in the norm industry, and thank you for your attention. So I don't know if there might be some questions. I can try to answer them. Yeah?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Rahat from the Federal Authority for Nuclear Regulation from the United Kingdom. Regarding the documents you have showed, is there an English version?
Yes, the calculation guide is available in English, as I showed you, but I have it already.
It's available.
No, I don't have. I have got given to you a memory stick.
Which is in the including all the abstracts of the papers.
Moment, just. I have given you a link here to the.
Yeah, it's a long link.
It's but it works. Is it this one? No, it's a council directive. Here. the English version. It's available here. Yeah? Okay. Please. Yes.
It was based on soil measurements in
general. Yes.
Is this for uranium equilibrium?
Yes, is this for uranium? For
are they equilibrium?
They are.
So this 0.2 Becquerel per gram is for uranium equilibrium?
Yeah. Separate. I know. Yeah, it was based on measurements in soil, and the upper range to be found here was 0.2 becquerel per gram.
For each,
yeah, not as a sum. No.
Yes.
Yeah, that's different from the regulation where the sum is to be done. Yeah.
So you got the maximum value
for each one. For each one, yeah. No, for the maximum value. The maximum value was in the series, but this is usually in equilibrium. Yes, but for the regulation, it might be different, and some norm residues are not in equilibrium. And then, in this case, the maximum value should be used. Yeah. And this was exempted, therefore. Yeah. Okay. I didn't get it.
Which technology do you use, or which technique do you use to remove scale from the pipe?
It's done by pressure. I could give you more information in detail. Yeah.
And the disposal of that scale, is that to low-level waste repository, or is it?
It's to a usual waste disposal site, because it's immobilized in geopolymers. And the dose assessment has been done, and this very low doses. Yeah, at first measurement of gamma by means of gamma spectrometry is done to get to know the gamma radiation, and if necessary, then we do additional measurements, chemical analysis for alpha spectrometry, and then can measure the remaining nuclides. Usually, you have an idea what the relevant nuclides are from a certain way of industry. If the with thermal processes, radionuclides following lead-210 are the main radionuclides, and in other cases, the radium is the leading nuclide, and so on. And this is done by different measurements, of course. So, any other questions? So, in this case, I thank you very much. Bye.